I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Good morning, Houston. Welcome to Amplify Houston on 90.1 FM, KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey. It is my pride and privilege to serve as the CEO of the Women's Home. And this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Jeannie Chandler, owner of Chandler Art Gallery. But first, I want to remind you that Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer Road in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. Okay, Jeannie, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Good morning, Anna. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome to the show. Let's go
thank
ahead and
you.
Get
I'm
started.
So excited to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, it's fun to have you here. Yeah. Let's start by introducing you to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And actually, I said the Chandler Art Gallery, but you actually own two businesses. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your businesses, Jeannie.
You bet. I am a business owner on two fronts. My background is in interior design. So I'm a licensed and registered interior designer, and also run a full-time design firm with a partner. We work for builders and developers all over the United States. And then I also have the pleasure of owning with my husband a high-end contemporary art gallery, as you heard earlier, named Chandler Art Gallery. So it really kind of speaks to my passions of creativity and design on both fronts. I've been a designer for over 30 years, you know, since my college days. And then my husband and I have been collectors with art just from our travels and, you know, things we love for many, many years, and then decided to turn that into a business after, you know, some recommendations and encouragement from some of our artists. So
yeah,
it's been quite a fun ride.
Well, I have had the pleasure of being in your art gallery a few weeks ago, and your art is just exquisite. I love fine art and have a lot of it in my home. And so I was just sort of like a kid in a candy store in there.
I know. I wish I could take it all home, but I can't.
I know. Exactly. There's not enough wall space.
We have incredible artists.
Yes, we have incredible artists
from all over the world. So it's really, really just an exciting place to be, full of great energy, and something that my husband and I really worked hard that I, myself as a female entrepreneur, I want it to be a happy place and a gathering place for all types of people, nonprofits, and everywhere where people can come together and have great energy and do great things.
Well, mission accomplished. It's a beautiful space. Okay, let's get into it though. You mentioned that you are a female entrepreneur, and there are plenty of female entrepreneurs in this world, thank goodness. But you are actually, your field of interior design on sort of a industrial scale, that's been very male dominated. And I think the art world, to a large degree, is still very male-oriented, male-dominated. So what did you expect? Did you expect that to be the case? What surprised you early in your career about that?
You know, I would say early in my design career going in, you don't know what you don't know, but you start to see very quickly, and of course, the building and developing world has traditionally been a very male-dominated world, but that's, you know, that's changing every year to be a more equitable balance. But it was very much that people kind of regarded me differently. you know, in the beginning, as those relationships have grown, those relationships and that that teamwork has changed, and the respect has been earned, and it's there. But it really wasn't kind of given to me easily like it would have been to a male counterpart. I really had to work for it and earn it. And especially starting at a young age, you know, they regard you as someone who's inexperienced, and, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So I've really worked hard all of these many years to earn my place. And I'm very proud of that.
Well, I think last week was Women in Construction Week. I think that's what we celebrated last week. And I got to say, I'm a fan of women in construction. I have a daughter-in-law who is making her way in the construction industry. So I know how hard it is, though, still for her to be in that male-dominated role area. So what you talk about, like, you don't know what you don't know, and you kind of had that feeling. What was your first clue early in your career that it was going to be different for you? Was there an incident, or was it just sort of a growing like sense once you got into the field?
It was a growing sense. And when you sit in certain meetings, you know, you're kind of ignored or just dismissed more easily, as far as when you have comments and want to participate in conversations. And, you know, you start to see that I saw very quickly that I was really going to have to earn my place and show my value, work harder. You know, really put more, there was always tons of effort, but really work harder and be there longer and go the extra 100 miles to earn my place. And so that's kind of been a big part of our business. And, you know, the funny part is our design firm is all women. We have gentlemen in our warehouse and on the support staff, but our entire team just historically has been all female. And it's quite the powerhouse group. And then same thing with our, you know, art team. We have a mix, but it's me. I'm the designer. I'm the one working with clients and doing all of that. And, you know, so you really start to see as people walk in and they just kind of look, even until they hear the name Chandler, they kind of think, oh, you must not be the owner. It must be your husband or it must be someone else. So, you know, even today you have to kind of set that expectation. You have to clear that up right off the bat. And then that usually kind of changes things immediately. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. Tell us more about that. Like, how do you get a vibe when you're talking to somebody that they think maybe this is your husband's business? Like, tell us how you navigate that.
I do, you know, and I always, it's a part of me to welcome people. It's big on me to have people feel welcome when they come. So I'm already, you know, very cognizant of that and stand up, introduce myself and want people to feel welcome the minute they walk in for whatever reason they're there. And, but I think people don't always, you know, if they hear the last name Chandler, it doesn't always, silly enough, they don't clue in. And I'll say, I'm the owner of the gallery. How can I help you? And then they're like, oh, you know, if you need pricing, I'm the one to help you, you know, not, we'll even have friends visiting, you know, who are collectors and they'll think that's the owner. You know, it's just a very interesting dynamic. So once I kind of help them and make them understand that, no, I am the person you talk to about pricing. I am the person who will make the deal for you, you know, then they start to see that they're not kind of going anywhere around me. And then they start to understand. And then usually it goes very well from there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Well, because you're sometimes.
Sure.
Especially
sure.
With the men who come in.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you've got such a personality, like your personality shines through and you're a very confident person and you're a very, you know, approachable person as well. But I would imagine that there are times, and we're going to ask you if you could share one of those times without naming names. Can you share a time when someone tried to dismiss you or talk over you or undermine your authority?
Oh, very much. I mean, there's, you know, I could think of many, many of those times. But, you know, again, just when, especially when everyone's wanting a deal or everyone's thinking, you know, in this culture, they're going to, you know, even in the fine art business or whatever it may be, everyone's kind of looking to assert their authority and pressure someone into giving them a better price or giving them something unique or, you know, whatever it may be. And I've just, you know, I've learned, and I guess that's why I thank you for the first sharing that you see me as a confident female. And, you know, I've really worked and honed those skills because I know that I am good at what I do. And, but, you know, it's been more, especially certain individuals that have come in have been very dismissive to me and kind of like, no, who else do I need to talk to? You know, who's the owner? Like, I'm the owner.
And you're dealing with her. Yes.
Like, you know what? You're dealing with me. And if you don't want to deal with me, then you're not going to get anywhere. And I'm so sorry. I can't sell anything to you. You're not going to be my client.
Uh-huh.
And then that kind of gets their attention, because if they're not getting what they want in the end, sometimes then they finally realize they're going to have to change their approach and dynamic and work with me. And then usually, you know, as the time goes on, we end up with a very great relationship.
Yeah.
And then,
but you have to
start to see
break through that barrier first. Yeah.
I have to break that barrier. I have to really punch through that wall and stand my ground. And, you know, my husband's great about that. He's like, hey, you need to talk to her. She owns the gallery. So I'm very fortunate that I have that support system on the back end. It's like, nope, she's the person you need to talk to.
Right. Well, so, and thank God he's like, you know, that he is, that he does that, because that's, Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Let's talk a few seconds, to talk about how this show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all. And almost every one of the people who work to bring you the show are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option 1 to become a sustaining member today. We are back with Jeannie Chandler of Chandler Galleries. And we are discussing the times when Jeannie has had to impress upon people that she is the boss. I love that phrase. I'm not bossy. I'm the boss. That she is the owner and that she has to assert herself in a situation to really be recognized and be respected and dealt with in a way that's professional and respectful. So, Jeannie, you know, women are expected to stay in this narrow lane. If you're too assertive, you get labeled the B word, right? If you're too accommodating, you get dismissed. How have you navigated that tension? You know, there's this phrase, you get more bees with honey. And yes, but should it be that way? And what are we giving up to ooze honey when the situation doesn't call for it? So I'd love for you to talk about that situation, that narrow lane. How do you manage that, you know, that public perception of being either too aggressive or too accommodating?
You know, that's a great question. As I was, you know, reviewing and preparing with what we had discussed, you know, would be on for today. That's such a tough lane, because number one, you want to be taken seriously, but you don't want to come off the wrong way. And I'm very strong and outspoken. I am a type A personality. So I really have to think about it, because I love that, you know, to stay strategic and flexible. You know, it's not necessarily, I don't look at it as bees with honey, but sometimes I just need to, I may have an opinion and have something to say right away, but I have to kind of to just steady myself and say, you know what, just sit tight and hold it for a minute. And let's see how things play out. And for me, that is my biggest challenge, but usually that works the best. And that's really hard, really, really hard to do, because, but just kind of letting it play out and then seeing strategically, then where can I go back and have the greatest impact or effect on how I can then go back and approach the situation I found to be my best bet. But it's really hard to stay there and wait for that. Personally.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, you don't want to turn people off, but at the same time, society's expectations are that you will be, you know, demure and appropriate and not get too excitable. And sometimes, you know, I don't know, for me, like every cell in my body is screaming like, you know, no, make this right, you know, assert yourself. But
yeah,
it's not, there are ways of doing it. where you hold your power, and there's ways of doing it where you give up your power, I guess, right?
Right. And I feel like if I can just keep myself grounded and wait, that's how I'm holding my power. And hey, let me tell you, I've got stories you wouldn't believe from working on construction sites and job sites, which I do a lot of in my design capacity, and also in the art world, going on installations and different things. You know, I'm very blessed that I have an incredible team on both ends of that spectrum, both the design firm and the gallery that I work with. And we've all been together for many, many years and have an unspoken language of how this is going to go. And, you know, it's amazing how many people will still try to kind of talk over me around and go around to my team, who my installers are typically male and they're phenomenal, you know, to say, and they're like, no, she gives me the direction. That's just, you know, that's the way it is. But it really is something that I think we as women have to continually learn what works best in our industry and how we can best be perceived as that strong but effective and strategic individual, but not coming off overbearing and bossy and all of those things, but be the boss. I love that. I'm not bossy. I'm the boss. And, you know, we're held to a completely different set of standards.
Yeah. And so let's talk about the community that you've put around yourself, because, you know, often in these difficult situations that I talk about with women on this show, it is the community that we rely on to support us to get through lots of hard things. So you have said that the team that you've built around you is predominantly female. So I imagine that's very helpful. And you've also said that they're such a well-honed team that there's sort of an unwritten or unspoken, like, oh, okay, now we see where this is going. We know what to do. So tell us a little bit more about how you built that understanding with your team, and how you've kind of cultivated this kind of almost instinct about how to proceed in something like that, and what the impact of your team and especially your husband as your ally in business has contributed to that.
Yes, no. You know, just inherently our design team, as I said, has always been a core female group at the design firm. And then also there's a mix between my husband and myself and other team members at the gallery. So there it's more of a mix. But in the design world too, you know, I'm so proud of these women as we go out, you know, into these projects and work on these large scale endeavors that are brought our way, that are, you know, we're so fortunate to have, and they've become really powerful advocates for what we can do, and the projects that we design are incredible. And same in the art world, you know, I'm working with females and we're going out and designing and putting together, you know, projects and portfolios for projects. And, you know, other than I have most of our installation teams are all male, and they are just phenomenal guys that I've known all of my career. And they are second to none in their, you know, ability, their teamwork, the way we've interfaced. And, you know, we've built that camaraderie and respect over many, many years. But just being able to mentor all of these women that are working in the design fields, in the creative fields, and see them go out and create these incredibly powerful and strong projects in our, you know, male dominated world is just very rewarding. And I'm so proud of all of my team members, and I'm so proud to be a part of that.
Yeah, for sure. So Jeannie, let's talk about the younger women coming into the field and what, you know, what they might expect. I know times have changed and things have gotten better, but there's still fields that are very male dominated and that women are still working to towards equity for. And so what would be your advice to a woman just entering a male dominated field? What would you tell her?
Oh, goodness. I would tell her to find the place where she feels that she's going to receive the most training and kind of be the most a part of a team that is going to take her in and lift her up, whether that's, you know, in a all-female office, a male office, because females can be tough to work for as well. And find the place where she feels that she is going to be able to grow, to learn, to be mentored, and to really be able to grow as an individual and, you know, as a creative. And also to find the place where she's going to get the most, again, the most time actually working on those projects, not stuck back as an assistant, never allowed to do anything. And, you know, our office is very unique. And I say that because even when I started out, I was thrown right into the teams. I was sent traveling on projects. I never sat in a resource room just filing samples. I was put right in the fire because that was the best place to learn with the team.
Right.
And we do the same with our team members coming in. And I think that's so important for them because I think they come in with a completely, I think the new generation has a completely different set of expectations. They come in and they start to see, oh, wow, this is really different. And so we want it to be a place, and I encourage them to, like I said, find that place where they're going to be included, to be put to work, to be taught, challenged in the field, not just sitting behind a desk and never getting to kind of really learn what it's really like. I think that's one of the most important things. And to be treated fairly.
And what would you tell her if she came to you and said, you know, this guy was talking over me at a meeting, or I made a point and then some man took my point and made it his own and didn't give me credit? Mm-hmm. Like, what advice would you give her about navigating the complexities of a male-dominated field?
You know, I think the best thing we can do is have a voice, too. And it may not be as simple as that, but often I would tell her to go back and, you know, ask for a meeting and sit down and talk through her challenge and concern and how she felt in that meeting. And if she feels she needs another team member or a female boss there or someone to be there in that room as an advocate, I think that is absolutely acceptable in this day as well. And talk through it and say, hey, look, you know, those are my ideas. I'm part of this team. When people are asked for opinions, I'm going to speak up because that's what I'm expected to do and I want to do. And I need you to be respectful of that. And I think in a respectful way, talking to people about, hey, this wasn't right. We need to do this differently. And let's work on being better with this next time is the best way to respectfully and to keep her power, you know, not to come across as petty and, you know, getting all unraveled. And then if that still doesn't work, then you escalate it. But at least she's also pulled in another female and a higher up coworker, boss. It could be manager, boss, someone there too, who's now been a part of that conversation. So no one can say it didn't happen.
Right, right. Well, Jeannie, it's been a pleasure having you on. I have one last question for you today.
You bet.
What is bringing you joy?
Oh, my goodness. So many things. My family, always. My husband is an incredible, as you've heard me say, part of my support team in all that I do. And I'm also, you know, all of my volunteer and nonprofit work brings me joy every day. He says I'm a serial volunteer and don't know the word no in my vocabulary. I think that is true. But I would say my biggest joy from all the creative fun things from the gallery and working with people and really, you know, filling that part of my cup, my biggest joy in life, I have to give a shout out to my youngest, my baby daughter, Goldie, who is 19. She's a sophomore at Savannah College of Art and Design. She's studying illustration, and I'm so, so proud of her and all that she's doing as she is following her dream and taking her creativity and her gifts to the next level. And I just couldn't be more proud.
Oh, wonderful. Jeannie Chandler of Chandler Art Galleries. Jeannie, if people want to learn more about your stuff, where do they go?
Please have them look up our website at ChandlerArtGalleria.com. Go to Instagram and follow us at Chandler Art Gallery there. And anytime they'd love to come in, we'd love to see them in the gallery. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 6. And Love to have them come in and say hello and say they heard the show, or even, you know, give us a call, whatever it takes. We'd love to meet them, love to bring them in and just let them experience art and see, you know, the passion and the great vibes and all of the great artists that we have, and see why we love it so much.
Great. Thank you so much for being our guest today. Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer Road in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop help pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Be sure to stay tuned for Gulf Streams with Weston Twardowski and the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. This is Anna Coffey, Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, over and out. It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me, my darling.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because